Pastor Kerry Willis, and I welcome you to today's December broadcast of Front Porch Talks.
And I'm Grayson Willis. We're so glad that you've joined us on the front porch today, and we pray that you have a blessed Christmas season.
Yes, indeed. We pray that this season of Advent, when we anticipate the arrival of the presence of God in the form of a baby born in Bethlehem, we recall it, we remember it, and we certainly anticipate the second return of that child who is no longer a child, but is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And that really is what the Christmas season should do for our mindset. It should help us to remember, and it should help us to anticipate. Remember the first Advent, the first arrival of Jesus to planet Earth, and then to remember that his promise is to return. And that would be the second Advent. This Christmas season is prime time for us to remember these wonderful thoughts. Today we're going to talk about the Christmas season. And I'll begin by sharing a little bit of a devotional that I wrote a few years back about Christmas. Grayson, if you want to go ahead and read the scripture verse that this devotional is based on, it is in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 9. And Grayson will be reading from the New International Version of God's Holy Word.
For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that you through his poverty might become rich.
What a beautiful passage. And that really explains the Christmas event. Do you ever ask the question, why, God, did you do what you did? In other words, why did God send his son to be born in a manger? And this verse from 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 9 gives it to us very clearly. The idea of the King of heaven, coming down to save us as subjects. I mean, we were subjects of the kingdom. We were the ones that Father God cared about so much that he sent his son, King Jesus, to be born as one of us so that he can make us like himself. I want to echo that verse again just for my own good. Here it is. Listen again. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, was, past tense, in heaven, he was King Jesus, rich, yet for your sakes, that's for you and for me, he became poor. He chose this. He chose to lay down the riches of heaven and to take on the poverty of our sin. He became poor. And why did he do that? So that through his poverty, we might become rich. It's an amazing thought that the king would die for us in our poverty so that we could join him in his eternal riches. Now, there's a word that we talk about at Christmas time. Actually, there are four words that are on my mind. I'll begin with the first, even though the word I was referring to will be the second. There are four words that I like to refer to this season of the year especially. The first word is adoration. The second word is incarnation. The third word is invitation. And the fourth word is celebration. So, of course, the first word being adoration, that's worship. And certainly when we consider this verse, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that you through his poverty might become rich. Now, if that does not ignite worship in our souls, I don't think anything else will. We understand that he took our place. He came to die a death that we could not die, to give us a life that we could not manufacture on our own. And that, my friends, calls for adoration. That calls for true worship of Holy God. The second word, which is the one I want to get to, is incarnation. Now, the incarnation is much more than just a theological word. It is the foundation of our faith. Christianity does not teach reincarnation, but it does teach the incarnation. In other words, we do not believe that after this life on earth, we will return once again as rats or horses or cats or dogs or anything else. We do, however, believe that God willingly entered our rat race. Yes, indeed, he came to enter our lives. And this is the incarnation. The incarnation is taking on flesh. And the idea of Holy God taking on flesh is really just out of our mindset. We cannot even begin to imagine it. The incarnation is explained in verses like John 1:14 and Matthew 1:23. Hear these words. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. That is, the second person of the Godhead, the Son of God, was born as a baby in Bethlehem. Therefore, he is Emmanuel, God with us, as one of us. This is the incarnation. It's very mind-boggling indeed. The Creator became his creation. Wow is all I can say about it. So we have adoration, which is worship, and then we have incarnation, which is God taking on flesh, taking on humanity as his very own, so that he might make us holy. Now in 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 9 that Grayson read earlier, and I repeated a couple times, the incarnation is in fact a three-part proclamation. It's a proclamation of the incarnation that leads us to invitation and celebration. So there are three parts to this idea, Grayson. Let's talk about them for a moment. The first part that we see in 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 9 of the incarnation is that God the Son was rich. Now, Grayson, when you think about God the Son being rich before he came to earth, what kind of vision comes into your mind?
Well, I just think about how he was up there in heaven next to the Father, because it says he's at the right hand of the Father. So I just think about how he has everything, and he has communion with the Father. They're spending every moment together, so to speak. And so that's what I think about the Son being rich, is he had it all.
No doubt whatsoever. And God the Son was rich. It's past tense. Now we know that he's been restored to those riches, but when this scripture is being written, and the Apostle Paul is helping us to remember the incarnation, he wants us to not forget that God the Son was rich. That's the first part. The second part is that God the Son became poor. It's an amazing thought that he would give up all his riches to become poor. So, Grayson, when you think about God himself through his Son becoming poor, what does that make you think about?
Well, it makes me think about how much he gave up, all the things, all the comfort that he had in heaven. He gave all that up, all his rights, all his powers as God to become human, to become like us, and to give up all his rights as God's Son to become like us and to be born to poor peasants like Mary and Joseph and live a human life and suffer all the things that us as humans suffer. That is just a huge sacrifice, and one that we can't imagine why he would do that, other than the fact that he loves us, and even more than that, he loves the Father, and the Father loves us also.
Good words, Grayson. Good commentary. Very deep thoughts. And so, first of all, the incarnation tells us God the Son was rich. Let's not forget that. The second idea, God the Son became poor. He went from one extreme to another. He went from eternal to earthly. That is an amazing downsizing. That's the best word I can use for it. And then there's a third idea that really puts this all together. God the Son was rich, and God the Son became poor so that we might become rich. Now, Grayson, we would call that the great gift exchange. At Christmas time, we exchange gifts, and I'm certainly for that. But we shouldn't exchange gifts without remembering the great gift exchange. Let me repeat that. The greatest gift exchange was that God the Son was rich and he became poor so that we might become rich. So Grayson, when you think about that, how would you like to try to define it or describe it or put it into some other words, this whole idea?
Well, Dad, if it wasn't for Jesus giving up all his riches of heaven to become poor and to become a human, then we would have no chance of being rich in spiritual ways, having eternal life one day, or having the opportunity of eternal life one day, if Jesus hadn't come to this earth to die for our sins, because we can't pay for our own sins. Jesus is the only one that could pay that price. So if it wasn't for him becoming poor, we would have no chance of eternal life or being rich and having what God the Father and God the Son have in eternal life. Instead, we would have eternal death.
Exactly. He gave his life for our death so that we could have his life again. It's just an amazing thought. You know, basically, Jesus said, get a life. You need a life. I'm coming to take on your death. I'm going to come out of that grave so that you can take on my life. And when we think about Jesus in Bethlehem as a baby, we never want to forget that he was born to die. He was born in the little town of Bethlehem that he might be crucified outside the city gates of Jerusalem. But we know that on the third day, he would come again with life in his hands. And he had scars on his hands and his feet and his side, but he came with life flowing from those scars and offering to us. The reason that he died was us. And he comes to us to offer us life. I love this saying that I read recently. I mean, not too many years ago, by recently, it's not a brand new thought. I saw it on a plaque. It kind of takes that slogan of Christmas a little bit further. We've heard the slogan, Jesus is the reason for the season. And I like that. But someone took a play on it, I think took it to a higher plane. The saying is this, Jesus is the season, we are the reason. And we are the reason there is a Christmas, because Jesus said there must be a season where I can make the greatest gift exchange, to exchange my life for their death and to give them life for forevermore. So let's repeat those three thoughts again, just so we have them clear in our mind during this Christmas time. Number one, God the Son was rich. Number two, God the Son became poor. Number three, God the Son was rich and became poor so that we might become rich. Yes, Christmas time reminds us of this heartwarming reality. Jesus left his heavenly glory to join our earthly story. What God did for us is indeed amazing, but why God did what he did for us is even more amazing. What God did for us is called amazing grace, no doubt. Why God did what he did for us is called amazing love. There's no other way to say it. It's called amazing love. Hallelujah should be what we proclaim. God's love for us was and still is amazing. It always will be. Now, the words again that I say I get hung on to this time of the year in a holy kind of way, word number one is adoration. We must worship when we understand the realities of the Christmas season. Number two, incarnation. We have to remember that God, holy God, took on humanity, that he came to be like us so that we could become like him. He joined our problem to make us part of his solution. And this is the incarnation. The third idea is invitation. Now let's talk a little bit about that word. Grace and Christmas surely is an invitation. Wouldn't you agree with that? And when you think about Christmas as an invitation, what might you like to add?
Well, we're invited. Just as Jesus came and was born, we think of babies being born and new birth. Well, we're invited to a spiritual new birth or rebirth. Whether you were a Christian and you backslid, he's inviting you to come back to him. Or whether you've never been a Christian, you've never accepted him into your life, he's offering you the chance to do it for the first time. And I think there's no better time than Christmas when we're reminded, because of Jesus coming and being born to this earth, giving up all his riches in heaven to become poor on this earth so that we may have eternal life. And I would think that him coming to this earth, I know you've said this before, that if you were the only one on this earth, he still would have been born and still would have died on the cross just to save your life. And he loves each and every one of us. And so it's a great opportunity to accept his free gift, his free grace, and his free love that he gives us.
Yes, indeed, Grayson. The invitation is free, but it's not cheap. And grace is extended to us, free grace. But my, what a terrible price. Terrible, I mean valuable. What a valuable price was given to give us that free grace. The Son of God came, left heaven and all its riches, came to earth with all its poverty, so that we might exchange our poverty for his riches. What a tremendous price tag it is for us to be able to say, amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. And so those four words, I'm going to back up and get a run at them again. First word, adoration. We must worship him during this season. Second of all, incarnation. Let us not forget that Jesus took on our flesh so that he could take it to the cross, crucify it, so that we could resurrect with him as holy. Amazing thought. Invitation, that he invites us. He came as a baby to extend to us that invitation. I love the way God came to the planet. He came as a baby. Who doesn't love a baby? There's no intimidation, just invitation in the Bethlehem story. That we see God reduced to an infant. Had to wear a diaper. You ever thought about that? The one who spoke creation into existence is now born in Bethlehem, babbling just unintelligible words as an infant. That's the invitation. You have to love a God that would approach us with such vulnerability. How beautiful is that? For unto you a child is born, unto you a son is given. And he gave to us his baby boy to invite us to follow him to the cross and to be crucified there with him so that our flesh that was our destruction might be resurrected into life everlasting. What an invitation. And if you have not received Christmas as an invitation yet, I pray that during this program today or at the conclusion of it, that you will say, oh Lord, I want to be full of adoration, worship. I receive the incarnation for my own life. I receive that as the gift. And I receive the invitation of forgiveness because I want to be in right relationship with you. And then finally, the word I've really been stuck on beautifully this Christmas season is the word celebration. You know, I think Christmas should be a celebration of the incarnation. And we should take the invitation and give back to him adoration because he is so worthy and he is a great, great God. There's a song that we sing around the church sometime. You're a good, good father. That's who you are. That's who you are. And I am loved by you. That's who I am. That's who I am. And friends, we have to believe that Father God so loved the world that he gave us his one and only son. That if we believe in him, we will not perish, but we'll have life everlasting. For God, Father God, did not send his only son into the world to condemn us, but to save us through his son. And so this is a beautiful Christmas theme that we should have going through our lives with flashing lights and bells ringing. It certainly should be a celebration. And I pray that this Christmas season will be a celebration for you. Now I know that Christmas seasons can be difficult. Relationships are broken. We have loved ones that are not with us anymore. There's a whole host of ideas that may make the Christmas season very, very difficult. It could be economical strain. It could be emotional pain. But I want to invite you to lean into the Christmas season, to come at it with adoration for the incarnation, to receive the invitation, and then let God turn it into celebration. Because I believe beyond the difficulty of Christmas, there is delight that we cannot understand unless we undeniably receive that from God. What are you saying, Pastor Kerry? What I am saying is there is healing in Christmas. There is no doubt in my mind that we need Christmas. It repeats one time every year, the season at least. And I know that Christmas should be every day for believers. But I'm talking about the season of Advent when we recall especially the Bethlehem event where God gave his one and only son that if we would believe in him, we would have everlasting life. We wouldn't have to live as paupers anymore, but we can now take his riches of righteousness as our own. And I pray that you'll know that when Jesus came to Bethlehem's manger and he was wrapped like a present in straw, that that was God's gift extended to you. And all you have to do is say, I want to hold the baby. I want to hold the baby in my heart. I want to become a Bethlehem, a manger, where the master of the universe can reside and preside and abide within me. Make me a carrier of your presence, O Jesus Christ, O King Jesus. I awoke this week with some thoughts in my mind. Every once in a while I wake up and the Lord gives me a good thought and he doesn't let me forget it until I can get it written down. You know, they say the weakest ink is better than the greatest memory. At my age, I'm starting to understand that. And so as soon as I got up, I still had the thought strong in my mind. And it was just one word. It was peace. Peace. And it was in the form of an acrostic. And I don't get these thoughts that often, acrostics, but sometimes I do. And you know what I mean by acrostic? P-E-A-C-E, running down vertically in my mind. And each word meant something. And when I filled that word in beside the letter, P-E-A-C-E, it spoke volumes to me. And this was the message I sensed the Lord whispering wonderfully to my mind during this Christmas Advent season. Peace, P. Pardon, E. Extended, A. At, C. Christ, E. Expense. Yes, peace is pardon extended at Christ's expense. And I am so grateful for that thought, that the Lord would allow me to have that kind of peace in my mind during this season. And you know what I'm doing today? I'm praying that kind of peace for your life. Grayson, is there anything you'd like to say about peace?
Well, I think that, like you said, because Jesus came to this earth and was born and died for our sins, and that after Pentecost, he also came and offered to live in our lives if we ask him to through his Holy Spirit, that we can have peace despite our circumstances in this life. If God is with us and living in us, we can have peace. And our peace is in spiritual things, not on this earth, but our peace is something that will last into eternity.
Exactly. A peace, he says, I give peace that passes understanding. And what I think he meant by that was the peace that I offer will overwhelm all your confusion and it'll bring to you a sense of solitude. And so my prayer over you this season is that you will accept the pardon that is extended at Christ's expense. Pardon, forgiveness. That you allow the baby from Bethlehem, the bouncing baby boy, to be your joy. He wants to bring joy to you. And I believe joy is just sort of peace on turbocharge. And I pray that you will know peace and you will know joy and you will know amazing grace. I pray that with all my heart. There's a couple songs that I want Grayson to put at the conclusion of today's Christmas season recording. I pray that this will bless your heart. One song is my friend from over in Wisconsin. Her name is Nikki. And Nikki sings the song Amazing Grace like nobody's business. We've played it here on this program before. She's a farm girl from Wisconsin, gave me permission to use all of her work. And I want you to have Amazing Grace. The second song is a song my friend Jim Cole wrote. And you'll hear it and you'll know that it's a song about the incarnation. So please receive these two songs as gifts to you from Front Porch Talks. And we pray that today's broadcast, during this beautiful, most wonderful season of the year, that this broadcast today has been a half hour of hope for your life. Merry Christmas.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved. Far and great. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we God's praise. Then when we'd first begun.
Every heart there is a hope to know as we are known. Deep calls to deep and calls us on. Though bruised and battered in a fall, we strain to catch a name. Whose image have we all been framed? None to us, now in darkness by our own hand, a child is born in a stable in Bethlehem. The Lord is come. Behold the virgin and her child, the lion, now a lamb, who was and is the great I am. He shall be called our counselor, our wisdom and our peace, the light who bids our shadows cease. None to us, now in darkness by our own hand, a child is born in a stable in Bethlehem. The Lord is come. None to us, now in darkness by our own hand, a child is born in a stable in Bethlehem. The Lord is come.
Today's broadcast of Front Porch Talks is sponsored by Sunshine Ministries.